If you are visiting today, today is a very special time, a very special moment in the life of our faith community because we have the privilege of celebrating Keith and Iris Ringgold's 60th wedding anniversary with them. I thought I knew them well, but I learned a lot as we did some storytelling in preparation for this service, and I learned that they had met when Iris was 17 and Keith 19 at Iris's mother's house. Her name was Alice Kaiser, and she clearly was a lot like Iris because she was hosting a birthday party for a young man who'd never had a birthday party and a very generous person. And so they met. It was love at first sight, and Keith had red hair when he was younger. How could you not love that? They noticed each other. They started to talk, and they were together from then on, 17 and 19. And here they sit here today, 21 and 23. Then I guess their first son came up two years after they first met to the day. As I reflected with them and family members who sent me wonderful stories, thank you so much, some themes jumped out at me. Faith, family, friends, commitment, service, and making the most of what you're given. When they were first married, they didn't have much money at all, and so they played a lot of cards and a lot of board games with family and friends, and they were rich in family and friends at that point and throughout their whole lives. Keith's parents own a cabin on Peavey Lake in Hillman, Minnesota, if you know where that is. And I wore my special Minnesota stole today so you would see some of the themes of their lives in it. Lakes and loons and canoes and all those wonderful Minnesota things. But with that, that was really a central touchstone and important, really a holy place for your family to keep returning to over the years, to be together. And again, to play a lot of cards together. Their family history is like a brief history of the Episcopal Church in Minnesota. Keith was raised at Christ Church Woodbury when it was in downtown St. Paul, uphill from the Xcel Energy Center. Any of you go to that church way back when? The freeway is now where the church was. So, oh yes, one person here. We'll mention that later. But anyway, that church later, some of you here, yes, today, that church later moved to Woodbury. Keith was on the vestry at the time, and he supported that. I imagine it was a controversial decision, and went out there and actually built the storage shed for that church. But I have to tell you, one of my favorite stories about Keith happened when he was 12 years old. He was singing in the angel choir for Christ Church in St. Paul. Bishop McNary heard him sing and suggested his gifts would be best used as an acolyte. So redirected him toward the acolyte ministry. I just love really pastoral folks who are able to do that. Well, that redirection ministry, very important in the life of the church. Keith is a master carpenter, and he began to use his carpentry gifts to give to his faith communities at least by age 15, where he went out to an Episcopal camp in Wisconsin, also called Christ Church, and built all the shutters one summer for the main hall or lodge for that camp. He has been senior warden, again, at Christ Church, or rather at Church of the Resurrection in Spring Lake Park. Some of you were there as well. He went to St. Christopher's for a while, but thanks be to God, came to St. Matthew's, and it has been such a godsend to us to have Keith and Iris here in our community. We have a wonderfully reciprocal relationship with Keith and Iris. Keith has lovingly preserved and enhanced our church with his woodworking skills. Iris has brought so much here, has helped us with our Blue House endeavors, and both of them believe that the prayers of this church saved Keith's life. Many of you know that Keith has had recent heart issues, but I'm not sure that too many of you know that in the 60s, I believe it was about 1966, Keith was diagnosed with cancer in 95% of his body. And at the time, he had four small children. So that was a very scary news for this family. Well, they prayed, and they're faithful friends. So all their friends from then Murray High School in St. Anthony Park were praying for them and coming around them, as was their wonderful family. Well, it turns out that imaging wasn't so good in those days, thankfully. And Keith also, during his prayers, just started to have a feeling that God was telling him that everything was going to be fine. And when they went in for the surgery, they found that his appendix had moved and wrapped itself around his colon. And the doctors had thought that that was cancer, but it was something that was able to be treated. Keith and Iris have been good friends and faithful servants to God, those around them, and all the faith communities that they have participated in. They went together as a family to church for years, and then Iris returned to the Methodist Church when the children were older, but we also consider her to be a part of our faith community. And for heaven's sakes, John Wesley was an Anglican, so we have a lot in common. In today's gospel lesson, James and John are not interested in serving, but in being served. And they ask Jesus some audacious questions. They want to sit at Jesus' right and left hand in glory. But Jesus tells them they don't know what they are asking. He says, can you drink from the same cup that I drink from? Can you go through the same baptism that I've gone through? Do they really know what it means to be a follower of the way of Jesus? Jesus then tells them, probably with great patience, that whoever wants to be great must be their servant, and whoever wishes to be first must be the servant of all. Servanthood, the ability to serve rather than to be served, is such a rare thing in today's world. The ability to serve, to empty oneself so as to make room for the other, is what is necessary in order to love. As our passage from 1 Corinthians reminded us a moment ago, love is patient and love is kind. It is not boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Love, according to St. Paul, the author of 1 Corinthians, is greater than faith and hope. When Paul uses the word love in this passage in 1 Corinthians 13, he doesn't mean a feeling. Although this kind of love he's talking about can produce feelings, he's not talking about a feeling. He is talking about the kind of love that God shows us in God's world, agape, an unconditional, committed kind of love. And it is a love and a commitment to another person that we demonstrate whether we feel like it or not, or whether we even feel lovable ourselves or not. Paul here is speaking to a Christian community that is having a lot of conflict over who is most holy. And he tells them that love, especially a love that is sacrificial, a love that makes emotional and physical space for the other, A love that will do anything possible in order to see the other thrive is true love. Love originates with God and manifests itself in our lives in many different ways. But most often, when we seek others' good first. Serving others, loving others, these are two of the main themes running through Keith and Iris's lives. Whether you experienced Iris teaching Sunday school as Laura Bathke did, received help in the form of all the things that Keith has done here in helping the Blue House, in preserving our beautiful church, in building so many things here to enhance this space. And there have been days, often hot days of summer, where I've come up here into the dark church to do something, and Keith has been up here quietly polishing the pews. Didn't even know he was coming up, but he just came up quietly because he loves wood and he loves these wonderful old churches and he wants to work to steward them. We've heard in so many ways, in all these ways, in all the ways I talked about at the beginning of this sermon, in the commitment to friends and family, we have glimpses of God's love shining through this very special couple. Keith's younger sister, Judy Marks, put it this way. When I see photos of Keith at about age 11 or 12, he is always holding me. He has always been there to hold me through all the happy and sad times of my life. For this, I am very blessed to have him as a brother. When Iris joined our family 60 plus years ago, she became our sister and friend. Keith and Iris were both great support as my sister Kathy and I grew into adulthood. May we know that God holds us and loves us and accompanies us just as Keith held his sister Judy. And may we be inspired by the servanthood and love that Keith and Iris model for us. As I think about who Keith and Iris are and what they have experienced together and in relationship with others throughout 60 years of marriage, two words immediately come to mind: servanthood and love. Amen.